the heart of man without Christ. It's very dark. Let's go back to the 18th Psalm tonight. We're going to start around the 25th verse, and we'll see if we get through the whole thing or not. But I stopped at verse 24 last time. Psalm 18, and this is a psalm David writes, a psalm of praise. At the top of mine, I don't know if yours has these at the top, but it says a psalm that David, the servant of the Lord, spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And this is also found in 2 Samuel, right, the 22nd chapter. Is that what I said? I didn't write it down tonight. But 2 Samuel 22, and it's not identical, but it's very close. So you can read that sometime. But you can, and if you read the previous chapter there in 2 Samuel, you kind of find out the context about when this happened as well. So starting in verse 25, he says, with the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, with an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright, with the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward, for thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks. And I was saying, as I thought about this morning, I was thinking about how, you know, our lessons that we've been having in the sermon in the morning about God's salvation and the grace and the change also that comes with that. We had a good sermon this morning about by faith, and there's a change that comes with that. And you know, those that have accepted Christ, they have been shown the mercy of God, and they understand and have experienced that mercy, and also, of course, God's righteousness, and so on. And so those that are God's people, they understand and they have received and experienced the mercy of God. And because of that, we also can be merciful to others and show mercy to others. As you see what tends to happen, man without God doesn't understand these things. One must have, by faith, accepted God's gift of salvation. And there's a change that comes with that. It's not just some words that one says. It's not just, you know, kind of a pie in the sky thing or something, but there is a change that comes because we now have the life of Christ in us, which is the life that is merciful and upright and pure. And God is a just God. We had a lot of those thoughts again this morning, but God is a just God, and he must show himself just. And the only way he can do that and provide salvation is, of course, there was a payment. But those that reject God will, of course, experience God's just wrath that comes because of that. Verse 28, for thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. And I like this verse, a reminder to us where our light really comes from. And there's several thoughts about the light. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but a couple of simple things about the light is when it's dark, you need the light to see. Unlike some animals, we don't have eyes that can see well in the dark. And so we need light in order to see in the dark. And those who choose to walk around in the dark without turning the lights on deserve to stub their toes. I'm not mentioning anybody in particular or anything, but but it's true. You know, we can't, in the natural, we can't see in the darkness. And spiritually speaking, it's the same thing. Those that want to walk around in the darkness, it's by their choice because God has provided light. And again, we've been having really good sermons on that the last several Sundays. So God has provided a light, and he lightens our darkness. He gives us light so that we can see, and not just a little bit of light to barely see, but good light so that we can see well. And the more we take in the Word of God, the more light we get to see even better. And personally, I like lots of light. I tend to go for lights that are quite bright on purpose because I like a lot of light. I like to see things. And, you know, I think spiritually we need to be of that same thought, which is we want a lot of light. And the more we get into God's Word, the more we find light. But the key of this verse is that it is God who enlightens. It is God that brings the light. We are recipients of that light as we take in God's Word, but it is God that brings the light. It's not man, it's not ourselves, it's not some philosophy or some religion, but rather God himself, as we take in his Word, brings us light. And we are privileged to have that light. And so why would we want to walk around in the darkness, spiritually speaking, if we have light to see by? Verse 29, for by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall. And I don't know exactly what David is specifically referring to here, but you can kind of get the idea. David uses words quite well to express things. And so you can think about the idea of running through a troop and the way they fought, of course, in that time, which was hand-to-hand combat pretty much. You can kind of think about how that would look and what it would take. Well, David was never one to think of himself as capable in himself, but rather he always knew that his ability in any sort came from God. And he says, by my God, I have leaped over a wall. Maybe when we were younger, we could do something like that, leap over a wall. But it takes a certain strength and a certain agility. Well, spiritually speaking, God gives us strength to run through the troop and the ability, if you will, to leap over the wall. So he gives us victory. And we're going to talk about that more as we get further into this, towards the end of this chapter. So I won't dwell out too much here, but God gives us great victory. Verse 30, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. His way is perfect. God's way is perfect. There is no better way. There's no other real way to go. It is the only, and it's tried because God's word leads us in God's way, of course, and his word is tried. That means it has been tested and put to the test and shown to be true. And so this is why God's word is so important to us, because it is tried and tested. God has shown us by his word that he is who he says he is, and that he will do what he says he will do. And so it's important that we, again, spend time in God's word, because that's where our faith comes. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. This is a good thought here, and we're going to think more about that as we go through, but those that trust in God. And again, David reminds me all the time of this, that no matter what his situation was, he knew who to trust in. And that is in God. And we can take that same attitude as we trust in him. He is our buckler. He's the one that protects us. He's the one that leads us. He's the one that gives us the victory. Verse 31, for who is God save the Lord, or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Oh, I'm going to stop there for a minute. Who is God save the Lord? A reminder of something we've been kind of considering a little bit in Sunday school, which is God is sovereign, and that is, he's over all. And a good thought here about who else is there save the Lord. Now, Israel turned to this God and that God over the years, those people that were around them. But every time that came to a bad end, because those weren't God. They were the imaginations of man. Who is God, say the Lord? In other words, there's only one. There's not a bunch. There's not a few. There's only one. And who is a rock, save our God? Where else could we go for stability? Again, just thinking about Israel and the way that they, over time, it seemed like continually would stray after the gods of the people that lived around them, looking for something that was better than what they had. I thought about that this morning. I was thinking about Israel. They had God's word. They had all of the miracles they had seen. They had so much from God, and yet they continually kept going somewhere else. And the thought in my mind was, what were they really looking for? Where else can we go? Who is a rock save our God? And then he begins to remind us about his ability, if you will, that he has as a warrior. And he says, it is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. And so David is very clear, and this, by the way, is a psalm of praise. And this is a good thing about for us to consider about praise. The way the psalmist words this as he begins to extol the things that God means to him and the things that God has done for him. And so we just had some testimonies and so on. And it's so good for us to extol what God has done for us, to lift him up and to be reminded that whatever thing might be important in our life or whatever thing that we might think we have going on in our life, God is the one that gives us that which we need. We were talking about playing the guitar, and I was thinking about, you know, God gives a special talent for that. My brother-in-law is one of those that has a special talent. When he was quite little, he was learning to play the guitar, and it just, like, in no time, he could just play the guitar. And then he would say, well, just hum a little bit of that, and I'll pick it up, you know. And yeah. And he hears perfect pitch, and so he can tell you when to shift your car, by the way, because he can hear when it hits that G or whatever it is. He can hear that, and he can tell you. And I challenged him one time. We were sitting around, and I have a nice thing on my guitar that helps me tune it. It's very concise. It gets me exactly where I need to be. Without that, I'm kind of useless. And he said, I don't need one of those. And I said, well, then do it. So he tuned the guitar. I had untuned it for him. He tuned the guitar, and then I checked it with that thing, and it was all perfect. But he hears that. And so there's a special, you know, God, and he recognized, by the way, that that's a God-given talent that he had. And then he learned to play the piano. He was about 9 or 10 or something, learned to play the piano. And it seemed like in no time he could play anything you wanted. Again, recognizing that comes from God. And so whatever it is, that was just one example of something. But whatever it is in our lives, if there's something that, you know, we might want to boast in, we need to be reminded that it comes from God, that he is the one. And that's why I kind of emphasized in these three verses, 32 through 34, the thought that it is he that has done this. These are things God is doing, not something that we can boast in ourselves. Verse 35, he says, thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation. There's something to be thankful for, something to praise God for. Every day, as we think about what that means and what the value of that is. And he says, thy right hand hath holden me up. In other words, if I haven't fallen apart yet, it's only because God held me up. And there's you know, something we need to think about. Especially in the world we live in, if there's anything that keeps us, it is God, and he holds us up. And he says, and I love this, thy gentleness hath made me great. Isn't that an interesting thought? Thy gentleness hath made me great. Men don't think about gentleness and greatness going together very much. That's not really something they put together. But I appreciate the thought here that God is gentle with us. You know, David David was a great man. He was a great king, and great in many ways. But notice that he gives God the glory for that. And he remembers it's God's gentleness. Sometimes God has to help us along a little bit. And I'm glad that he's gentle when he deals with us, because sometimes that's not what we deserve for him to do. But he does bring us to a place that he wants us to be. In verse 36, he says, "Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip." And this is an interesting thought. I've talked about it in different ways before, but for some reason, when I read it this time, I thought about this. When I was up in Montreal, one of the things that some of the people like to do there in the wintertime is to go snowshoeing. And so I don't know if you know what a snowshoe is, but a snowshoe is it looks like a tennis racket. And you attach it to your feet, and it allows you to walk on top of the snow that's really deep. And up there, the snow gets really deep. And so what that does, that makes your step really big so that you don't push through the snow. And I don't know why, but that's what I thought of when I read this time. That thought about having a larger step and being stable. You know, there's something about that, having a larger step. Well, God enlarges our steps under us so that our feet do not slip. He's the one that keeps us. And this talks about our walk, our spiritual walk. Talking about the feet and so on, talks about our spiritual walk. And, you know, in our spiritual walk, it is as we trust in him. Again, it's not just salvation by faith. It is every day by faith. It is the just shall live by faith. And so, yes, we start out salvation by faith, but every single day from there on, it is one step at a time by faith. And God is the one that holds our steps when we trust in him and let him guide those steps. Verse 37, "I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me." You notice all the thous, by the way. "Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen, a people whom I have not known shall serve me." I'm going to stop there for a minute. All of these verses reminded me that God gives the victory. And so you go through here, and all of these verses are thoughts about warfare. And David, of course, understood warfare. He was a mighty soldier and fighter, and he knows warfare. But again, I tried to emphasize a little bit, but he gives God the glory here for that, all of that. "Thou hast girded me with strength, thou hast subdued, thou hast given me," so on. God gives us the victory. You know, there is a spiritual battle that is going on. And by the way, when I thought about this along with verse 36, the thought about feet not slipping, I thought about that. You know, in the time that David lived and the way they fought them, man, if you slipped and fell, you were probably in a bad way. You needed to have good footing. It was important. Because once you slipped and fell, you lost a lot of your advantage. And so in the battle, and there is a battle going on. I mean, just look around. The enemy is certainly fighting today. And there is a battle going on. And in that battle, God is the one that gives us the victory. All these things that he mentions about subduing those and giving me the necks of mine enemies and wounded them that are not, and all these things that he mentions are all just thoughts about the victory that we get in the battle as God brings us the victory. And you can go to the 8th chapter of Romans. I'm not going to turn there, but there we find that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And so we can have victory in our lives. God's people, a lot of God's people are missing out because they don't know that or they haven't understood that. But we can have victory in our lives because of him, because he gives us a victory, because he subdues the enemy before us. And so if we're going into that battle, we better be sure that we're going with the Lord and not on our own, because we won't survive on our own. Verse 43, thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. And this is interesting that David, indeed, as he was king, he also reigned over some people. They weren't Israelites. They were some people that were in that land, but he ruled over them. God gave him that place. Just a reminder that God gives us victory sometimes in places we're not even aware of at times. And sometimes we don't understand what the enemy really is doing, and yet we turn to God. See, our trust is in God, not in understanding everything that's going on and everything that we're coming through. It's not about us trying to be knowledgeable about all the things that are happening, but rather learning to trust in God no matter what the situation, no matter what comes and no matter how it looks, that we trust in him because he's the one that gives us the victory. Verse 44, as soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their close places. And we sing, I think, this next couple, or at least this next verse anyway. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. This was the result that comes from David as he thinks about God giving him all the victory, all the victories that he's had. And so out of that, he comes to this this statement, which is, the Lord liveth. The Lord liveth. We serve a living God. We serve a risen Lord, a risen Savior. And he says, blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. In other words, all these things that he just talked about, he wants those to be things that exalt God. And in our lives, it should be the same way. When God gives us the victory, and he does give us the victory, then we need to be sure that we are exalting him for that victory. We do serve the living God. There on Mount Carmel, they were praying to Baal, and nothing was happening. And why was that? I can't remember. Was he asleep or on vacation or something? I don't remember. Something like that, huh? Well, that's because he wasn't the living God. I'm so glad that we serve the living God and that we can exalt him for everything in our lives, every step of the way that he brings us, every step that he enlarges under us, we can exalt him. Verse 47, it is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. He delivers us and he lifts us up above. And that's important, that sometimes we feel like we're kind of down underneath. And again, remember, by the way, if you fall down in the battle, that's not a good thing, because that puts you at a disadvantage to the enemy. But God lifts us up and he keeps our feet and he brings us above. And I'm glad that we can trust in him for this. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. God is the one that delivers us. It reminds me that Paul tells us that God has delivered, is delivering, and will yet deliver. And that's exactly our trust and our faith in our God, that he is delivering, he has delivered us, and that he will continue to do so as we trust in him. Verse 49, therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Again, this is a psalm of praise. It really is. Even though we have so much different thoughts, David's trying to lay out different things about God and things that he wants us to understand. But for each of these, he wants to give praise, and we should as well. That's the lesson here for us. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen. In other words, wherever we are or whoever, we should be giving God the glory. I always remember, I speak often about a man named George Huggins, and He was a good friend of mine at work. In fact, I worked for him for a few years. And I remember when he retired because he had a really bad form of cancer. And when he went into remission, they told him he only had 5 years. That was the average span of those that went into remission with that kind of cancer. And that was about 9 years ago, by the way. And he's still writing. But in his retirement, which was at our place of work, in a room with a lot of people, different places, different kinds of people. And he was very clear about his giving the Lord glory for the fact that he was still alive and for his career, all the things that he had, you know, accomplished over those years. He gave God the glory for that. And I thought that was really good in front of, you know, in a place like that, you might think, well, this isn't probably the place for it. But nonetheless, it really was the place for it. And I was really glad to hear that. And he was very sincere about it. He did write recently that he was thankful that God had, that he was now in the ninth year of his five-year term, that God has kept him this long. And I appreciate it because he writes a lot of really good things. I appreciate his insight and thinking about God's word. But we should give thanks. And yes, even among those that are not believers, we give thanks to God. We remember that God is the reason we are where we are, and it is God's grace that has brought us this far. He says, and sing praises unto thy name. And again, that's one of the reasons we sing, is because those songs are, they're praise to the Lord, they're encouragement to us, and both of those things are important, and especially we want to give praise to him. Verse 50, great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore. And so he ends this psalm, again, reminding that God is the one that gives deliverance. And it is God's mercy. We don't deserve deliverance. We don't deserve any of what God has given to us. That is God's mercy and God's grace. David knew about mercy because when David failed, he knew what the appropriate remedy would be to that. And he threw himself on God's mercy. And that's the difference between David and Saul, as you study in the Old Testament. Saul just tried to blame others and justify himself, if you will. David, on the other hand, when he realized what he had done and he recognized his sin, he threw himself on God's mercy. And he says, I acknowledge my sin. Did we have that this morning? It seemed like I just heard that. Did we just read that? I don't know. It just seemed like I just heard that psalm. He says, I acknowledge my sin. I think you read it this morning, didn't you? Yeah. It sounded like I just heard that. But see, that was David. And so he understood God's mercy. And he says to David and his seed forevermore, well, you know, God's mercy extends even down to us in this age today. And we are, as we heard this morning, we're Abraham's children by faith. Because we believe. We're also the seed of David because of Jesus Christ, who is the seed of David, and he's brought us into the family. I am so glad that we can consider God's working in our life and God's grace and mercy shown toward us in every aspect of our life, especially thinking about God giving us victory. As God's people, there's no reason for us to live defeated lives. God brings the victory, but it comes how? By faith. By faith. The just shall live by faith. And so when that comes, when that victory comes, then we can be like David and give praise and glory and honor unto the one that brings the victory. It's the purpose of our lives. The purpose of our lives is to bring him glory and honor in all aspects of our lives. That was a good chapter. I enjoyed that. The next chapter is really good too, by the way. I'm not gonna give it away, but any questions or comments tonight? Yes, go ahead, Chuck.
Mm-hmm. People that are left-handed
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the reason they prevailed. But most societies in those times and even today, native are very much right.
Yeah.
And if you're left-handed, even some of those societies today try to switch the kids to not be
left-handed. Yeah.
Years ago. Not so much now, of course. But.
Yeah, I think probably you're probably right. The majority of people probably are what we call dominant right-handed, and that means that. Yeah, it means that most of the power is in the right hand. That's why God, often in Scripture, it speaks about God's right hand. And that's why, by the way, we know God doesn't have hands like us, but we have to understand somehow how he comes on our behalf. And so that's a good thought, that his right hand is the one, is the power. I don't know, for me, sometimes I think, well, the left hand must be the hand that he gathers us with. And, you know, the gentleness, if you will. And the right hand is his power. That's just my thinking. That's not scriptural anywhere, but. That's the way I think of it. When the psalmist speaks about gentleness, I think about that too. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good thought. Yeah. Step up, yeah.
And then the dirt, more dirt on top of the donkey, and step down on dirt and step up higher until it got to the very top of the hill and was able to walk down. And when you were talking about the snow,
yeah. Yeah, that's good. God enables us to stand on top of that instead of being down in it.
That verse, he lifts us up.
Lifts us up, yeah.
And thank the Lord that he does.
Yes.
When he lifts us up above our problems and trials and things, and we're up above, and in a sense, we're seeing them then.
Yes, as God sees them, that's right. Yeah, or reminds me, Jack. Yeah, reminds me. Jack used to talk about the eagle soaring above, mm-hmm. and seeing what's down. Yeah, we see from God's viewpoint when he brings us up above. It's good. That's a good thought. Yeah.
The eagle doesn't have any trouble crossing the river.
That's right. That's right. I'm so glad that God does lift us up. Sometimes we really need to be lifted up because. We get a little down, and the psalmist knew that, by the way. You find him that place a lot of times, but I'm glad God is the one that lifts us up. We go, everything in our lives, we go to him,
yes.
and we look to him in faith.
Satan would have us make
That's right. That's right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. In the mud.
But he lifts us up above.
Yes. I'm so thankful. There's so much to be grateful for, so much to be thankful for every day.